So, it's Trinity Sunday, and one of the easiest things in the world to do in about 10 minutes is explain the Trinity. Hey, at least somebody was listening. I'm not even going to try to do that today. But I am going to talk about the importance of not doing that. First, let me tell you, there's a story about a young pastor who had just moved into town, and this was back in the days when there weren't really cell phones, and there's no Facebook, and so, what, 20 years ago? And he's going door to door to meet the people in his little parish, and he gets to this one house and knocks on the door, and he's pretty sure he heard somebody inside, and there's a car in the driveway, but nobody came to the door. So he took his card, and being witty that he was, he wrote on the card the verse, Revelation 3:20, and he stuck it on the door. Now, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice, I will come in and dine with them, and they with me." Clever young pastor. That Sunday, as they were bringing in the offering, there was a prayer card on it, signed by this particular parishioner. But the only thing written on it besides his name was Genesis 3:10. "I heard your voice in the garden, but behold, I was naked and hid myself." Trinity is a word that we throw around. We have a church in our presbytery named Trinity. It was 60 years, give or take, after Christ and the first disciples walked the earth, maybe closer to 80, depending on who you read, before the word was ever used to describe our understanding of God. There was another word they used, which was perichoresis, which was kind of dancing around, right? It's sort of like three entities holding hands and dancing in a circle. The mystery of the Godhead is something that we as Christians have been struggling to understand and to illustrate for the better part of 2,000 years, 20 centuries. You like that quick math? The mystery is something that has confounded people. It's caused inner church fights. I mean, the Western Church and the Orthodox Eastern Church split over an understanding of the Trinity. And it took almost 1,700 years before they would ever do anything close to reconciling and sharing communion. That's how seriously they took the concept and the idea of understanding God as the Trinity. And how they talk about it. But I think there's two things today that I want you to walk away from. When you read that first chapter of John, if you're like me, it's a little confusing from time to time. You have to dissect it a lot and work at it. But some way, the Word, Jesus, was both present at creation and a physical human who lived at a point and time in creation. And the Holy Spirit, God's breath, was always present throughout creation, within creation, and yet only bestowed upon the church at Pentecost. Several months ago, we were talking about what I considered a difficult passage when Jesus is speaking somewhat harshly to the Syrophoenician woman. And I stood here and said to you, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't understand how Jesus can sound that way. And not just a few of you commented to me afterwards that it made you uncomfortable, that I was uncomfortable. It was as if I'm supposed to have all of the answers. But I'm going to let you in on something. A, I don't have all of the answers. I'm on this journey just like you are. But sometimes, finding that answer is not necessarily the most important thing. The game of checkers that we talked about at the children's sermon, to me, is the best representation of what the Trinity means. Not because there's white pieces, there's brown pieces, and there's a board, that makes three. No, don't go there. But it's an invitation from God to say to us, come play. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to dance with you. I want to play. I want to be with you. Many times as a church universal, and many times as Christians, we concentrate on trying to find the right box in which everything works. We want to make sure that we understand everything exactly the way it should be. And there's nothing wrong with good study. And there's nothing wrong with struggling with passages of Scripture. There's nothing wrong with that. But when finding what we perceive to be the answer and then beginning to worship the answer as opposed to the God who created not only the answer but the question as well, that's where we get ourselves into trouble. The invitation of Trinity Sunday is for each of us to enjoy the mystery of God. If you ever come across someone, and some of you may have already, they know everything about everything. Now, none of you folks are like that. But these same people know everything about Scripture. And they know everything about how it all fits and works. It may sound inviting to have that kind of a grip on your faith, but it's like staring at the checkerboard and not playing. Part of the adventure is allowing that mystery of how God wants to relate to you and to me, allowing that mystery to just be. We don't have to understand the mystery to experience the mystery. When I was in seminary, we were learning about Holy Communion. And we were learning about all of the different ways throughout history and currently that different churches, different denominations, understand Holy Communion. On one end of this continuum, we'll call it, are people who believe it's just a symbol. It's just merely a symbol of what Christ did for us. On the other end of the continuum, the real Orthodox Roman Catholic view is called transubstantiation, which means during your participation or a Roman Catholic participation in Holy Communion, the wine and the bread become the body and blood of Jesus Christ, quite literally. That's the other end of the continuum. In between, there are a whole lot of different people with a whole lot of different ideas. I was really struggling with this. I could not understand it. And my preceptor was an Episcopalian priest. And I came to him and I said, I don't understand it. I said, I get the language. I can write the paper. I can make the argument. I can understand these different viewpoints theoretically. But I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on in this. And he looked at me and he said, I tell you what, we've got another 12 weeks in this semester. Right across the street from seminary campus is an Episcopal church that has communion every morning. He said, I want you at least once a week, but more if you can, to go into that church and take communion. And he said, then at the end of the semester, we'll come back and talk about it again. So I did. I could articulate the same answers, the same structures, the same rules, the same ends of the continuum that I could when I started. But something within me changed during those 12 weeks of taking communion every week, if not more. It wasn't magic. It wasn't that my thought processes became clearer. But somewhere, somehow, something became more real to me. The mystery of the act of Holy Communion became more real. I still can't explain it 30 years later. But I can still feel the excitement that I felt as I realized that in some way, maybe in a way I can't articulate, the mystery of God was being revealed to me through the elements of communion. So on Trinity Sunday, my encouragement to you is this. Relax in the mystery. Don't just stare at the board. But the invitation is to play. I invite you to find the mystery of God this next year. And then some way, somehow, between now and next year's Trinity Sunday, I invite you to live and play within the mystery that is our God. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.